You know, one of the many things that I love about the Bible is that it doesn't cover up flaws found within its heroes. There's no attempt to make them look perfect, and we get to see their warts and all in their lives. God took fractured people, and he used them for his honor and for his glory. And that's very true in the scripture passage that we're going to look at today. But let's face it, it's also very true in our own personal lives where God works through us even in the midst of our imperfections. Well, this is our final week, week 5 of our series, Be the Message. God chooses his people to live out and become the message of salvation wherever we go, the gospel message itself. Our lives, our words are to be the message of Jesus. And we've talked a lot in the 4 weeks leading up to this about being the message. And of course, today we want to look at putting those message into action by activating your mission. The flawed biblical hero that I want us to look at today is Moses. Now, I know many of you, if not most of you, know Moses' story, but let me just give you a quick overview, a quick background, because it's so important to understanding today's passage. The Hebrews, or the Israelites, were living in the land of Goshen, there within Egypt. Over the centuries, while they have been there, though, their population has grown to such a size that it began to bring a little discomfort to Pharaoh, a little fear to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh decided to choose population control to get the Israelites under hand. He decided that all newborn male Israelite children should be put to death. But God had a mission for one of these babies. He had a mission activated through a baby by the name of Moses. And through a series of events, baby Moses' life is spared. And not just spared, of all things, he becomes the adopted child of Pharaoh's daughter. When God activates a mission, he also sets a pathway for that mission for you. Years later, baby Moses is now a 40-year-old man. He knows that he is an Israelite. He has had the finest Egyptian education growing up in Pharaoh's court. But one day he's out walking about and he sees an Egyptian beating up a fellow Israelite. Moses stepped in, saved the day as he thought, and ended up killing the Egyptian and then hiding his body. The next day, Moses found two of his own people, two Israelites, arguing, having a fight, and he tries to break them up, and all of a sudden he realized they knew his secret, because one of them says, "You're going to kill us just like you killed that Egyptian?" Well, Moses became fearful himself. He ran in fear. He runs deep into the desert. And when he is there, he comes upon a well, and he meets there the 7 daughters of Jethro, the priest of Midian. They are there at the well, drawing water for their sheep, for their flock. Now, as time goes on, Moses ends up marrying one of those daughters, Zipporah. And he begins now to live a life of quiet and seclusion, taking care of sheep. Going from the home of Pharaoh to taking care of sheep out in the desert. And then 40 more years pass. He's now at the age of 80. At 80 years of age, God takes another step to activate the mission for Moses. Moses is tending sheep. He's learned the trade. For 40 years now, he's been a shepherd himself. And he sees off in the distance this strange sight. There's a bush that's on fire, but the fire never seems to consume the bush. It just keeps burning and burning and burning. And let's face it. Let's face it when it comes to Moses. For most of us, when we think of Moses, We have this, especially if we've seen the movie, The Ten Commandments. We have this fiery, strong personality played by Charlton Heston. And that's what we think of when we think of Moses. But actually, the beginning of Moses' activation to missions was far from fiery and strong, except for the fire in the bush. Moses was quite frail at times and had excuses coming out of his lips. Now, I'm not condemning Moses over this. I'm just sharing his humanity and really how much he is just like you and me. I'll admit it, there are times I've made excuses to God. There are times that I wanted to give up. There are times that I become so angry at people, I'd love to blow up all over them. And there are times when I hate to admit it, I doubted some things concerning God. But I imagine you've been through some similar things yourself in life. But see, God still used Moses and all that. God still used me, and he still wants to use you for his purposes. He wants to activate your mission. See, Moses thought when he, at age 40, when he killed that Egyptian, that he was going to earn favor with his fellow Israelites. But it didn't turn out to be the way to activate the mission that God had intended for him. And so God sends Moses off into the desert for a little humility training. And now this man, Moses, carries a shepherd's staff. Instead of being dressed in Egyptian garb, looking royal, instead he's in shepherd's gear. He's lived 40 years out here on-the-job training on how to protect sheep. But see, God wanted this shepherd to tend a different flock. This flock was a flock of Israelites. We're going to look at a few verses scattered within the third and fourth chapter of Exodus. I want to begin by looking at Exodus 3, beginning with verse 2. We find there it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, while the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Well, that got Moses' attention. I mean, if God spoke to you today through a bush that's burning and never is consumed by the fire, it would give your life a little bit of pause too. God called Moses by name. This was a personal event on this day. And by using Moses' name, God is saying, I know I set you aside at birth. I know the mission, Moses, has not gone exactly the way you thought it was going to go. And I know you're out here in this desert. Well, guess what? God knows your name. God knows your name. Others in this room might not know who you are at all. They may not know your name at all. But the one that counts the most does know your name, God himself. God knew you before you were even born. He knows your potential and he knows your mission for your life. He knows you might be feeling like you're in a desert today. That you're in seclusion. And he's ready for that mission to be activated in your life, just like Moses. Just like Moses, I think there are three steps for you to activate your mission today. And the first is embrace God's calling. Embrace God's calling. Skip down to verse 9 and 10. It says, And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Think about that mission for a moment. Here's Moses. He was in Egypt. He fled from there out of fear. 40 years he's been gone now. And now God says, guess what, Moses? I'm sending you back. I'm sending you back to confront Pharaoh and to bring my people out of Egypt. What a mission. God may not be calling you to that big a mission, but don't doubt him that he could. God wanted to expand the land that the Hebrews were to live in. Goshen was too small. Goshen was in the wrong place. It wasn't the promised land. And God wanted to expand their influence. He wanted to a people that he could love and a people that would love God back. He wanted a people that would reveal to the world what it really meant to worship the one true God instead of all those false gods out there. He wanted to expand their influence to touch the lives of other nations. And God wants to expand your influence. He wants to expand your opportunities and the blessings to make a difference in the lives of other people. We are called to influence others for Jesus, and God wants to expand our influence. He wants to expand the land of your influence. God does not call us to affluence, okay, but to influence. Now, there's nothing wrong with being affluent as long as you understand that God blesses you to bless others. He doesn't bless you to keep it all in. He blesses you so that you can bless others. And whether that's through finances or your talents or your time or however God influences you, we are blessed to be a blessing, to be an influence to others. You're not blessed or called to impress people. You're not called to impress, we're called to influence people. See, impressing people is when we're concerned about our own image. We impress people with our image. We influence people with godly integrity. Moses thought killing that Egyptian that day was going to impress the Israelites, but it didn't. It took a bit, as we will see, for Moses to embrace his calling to influence and lead the people through influencing them. But it all was about godly integrity all along the way. And some of you may be thinking today, Larry, I don't have any influence. I don't have any influence anywhere. And I say, you really don't realize every one of us has a sphere of influence. You might actually be shocked as to what people are watching you in this life. What people are observing your example in this life. You have influence in your family, at work, at recreation, in your neighborhood, and yes, even at church. Do you try to influence for Christ, or do you try to impress for yourself? God's watching to see how you use your influence, your godly integrity. And it often starts very small. Because God wants to see how you're going to handle with that small area. And if we embrace his calling and influence in the small areas we have, usually God typically expands our land of influence. Expands where we go. If I use my influence for myself, though, that's impressing, then why would God want to expand that? God really wants to expand your influence. He's watching you and me right now to see how you and I use the influence that he's already given us. I have to embrace that calling. Embrace that calling. Let me step back on that word calling, because I think it's Satan's way of keeping the average Christian, average Christian, that's even the wrong way to say it, keeping Christians from being out ministering to others. We tie this word calling with pastors. Pastors are called. That's not what the scripture says. Scripture says every follower of Jesus Christ is called. God has a calling upon your life, and God wants to expand your influence. And today, not tomorrow, he wants you to get underway with it instead of waiting and waiting. But see, we got to do something that Moses had to deal with. We have to stop giving God excuses. We have to stop giving him excuses. When we realize that God has called us to step out into our destiny and influence others for him, usually the first thing we do is exactly what Moses did. We make excuses. Moses was really good at making excuses, as we are about to see. God missioned Moses to go to Pharaoh, lead the Israelites out of Egypt, and then we find this in verse 11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" What's the first excuse? I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not spiritual enough, God. And see, we think by saying I'm not spiritual enough that that kind of sounds spiritual. God, you realize there's somebody out there who's a whole lot more spiritual than I am, God. And you know, really, God, see, it's not about me. It's all about you, God. That's who I'm concerned about. It's all about you. I'm just this weak Christian, God, and I can't do a thing. I'm just this poor little Christian. God, it's not about me. It's all about you that I'm concerned about. So, God, you can't use me. You need to use someone else. Pick someone else who's more deserving, God, more spiritual than I am. And after God tells you that's a bunch of baloney, he then says that's false humility. It's really saying, God, let me give you this spiritual excuse that I'm so humble so I can get off the hook. And God says, you got it all wrong. What he said to Moses, Moses said, "Who am I, God? Who am I to do this?" And God said, "You know what, Moses? You're right, it's not about you. It's about me. It's about who I am, not who you are." When you say, "Who am I, God?" God says, "You're right, it's not about who you are. It's about who I am in you. It's about my Son, Jesus Christ." You know, we have a favorite verse that we like to use at times, Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through him, that is Christ who strengthens me." I can do all things. And I wonder, do we believe it? Do we really believe it? Because I think a lot of times our actions say it's just lip service, just Christian lip service, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You know, the interesting thing about this verse is that the verse is just a little bit before this. Paul is dealing with worries and anxieties and how the church was at Philippi was having problems over worries and anxieties. And he talks about prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to work through that. And so what do? Then we worry about it when God calls us to do things and we say, "I'm not spiritual enough, God," instead of, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Too many times we focus on what we can't do, but when we need to start focusing on what Christ can do through us, because I can do all things through Christ if he is in me. And God said, "Moses, change your focus. It's not about who you are, Moses. It's about who I am, and I can do all things through you, Moses. I can strengthen you." See, "I'm not spiritual enough" is not an excuse. Go over to chapter 4, verse 1. "Then Moses answered, 'But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you.'" Excuse number 2. What will people think? What will people think? That's really the center of a lot of our excuses, I think. What will people think? Now, we don't say it quite like that to God because we know it's not good to care what people think. But it can come off sounding like, if I surrender to the mission God has called me to, what will people think? What about my reputation? And too many people fail to activate their mission to be the message because they're worried about what others will think of them. And I should have put this next thing up on the screen and in the notes because this is such a key thought here. When you lose the fear of people, you gain your destiny. When you come to the point that you lose your fear of what people think about you, you begin to gain your destiny that God has in store for you. It's as simple as that, but until you lose that fear, you'll never walk in the plan that God has in store for you. What will people think is not an excuse. Go down to verse 10 in chapter 4. "But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Excuse number three, I have too many faults. I have too many faults. God, you don't want to use me. I just got way too many problems in my life right now. I have too many faults. God, you don't want to use me. I'm not talented enough, God. God, I've got problems. I've got failures. You just don't want to use me. Moses said, God, you've got the wrong guy. See, I don't speak well, he said. I don't speak well. I'm clumsy with my words. You know, a recent survey of Americans said that the fear of public speaking outranked the fear of death. Think of that. The fear of public speaking outranked fear of death. I mean, I've told you before that one of the greatest fears I had going into ministry when God called me into ministry was this whole thing of speaking. I made excuses to God. I started off by saying, God, God, I'm going to be an accountant. Not a lot of public speaking there. Then it was after that, because honestly, I got into it, and I think God was working all the way, because I was a pretty good student typically, but then it became, no, Lord, okay, accountant's not it. I'm going to be a systems analyst. I can't speak well, God. Some of you would rather die than speak in public. God always calls us to do things we can't do in our own strength. So we have to depend upon Him and give Him the glory for it all. God always calls us to step out of our comfort zones. And when we do, He gets the credit because He strengthens us to do the things that normally we couldn't do in our own strength. So I have too many faults is not an excuse. Verse 13. If I can find verse 13. But He said, O my Lord, please send someone else. Well, you should be able to fill this one in all by yourself. Let someone else do it. Well, that's a classic excuse too. God, I'll sit this one out this time. Let someone else do this. And you know what happens? The bigger a church is, the easier it is to hide. You can hide in a bigger church. That's someone else's job, God. Don't be one of those people who say, I'm going to sit this one out. You know, we are called the body of Christ. And the body all needs to function together. We need everyone, every single one participating. We need everyone to be the message. And you miss out on the blessings of God, the mission in your life, when you sit it out. Moses made all these excuses, these four excuses. And then we find out after that in verse 14, it says, God's anger burned against Moses with all his excuse making. That last excuse especially must have sent God over the edge on this one. Let someone else do it. God had had enough. And He said, Moses, who made that mouth of yours? Moses, who gives you everything that you have? It's me, and I can do what I want in your life. Now stop making excuses and get out there on your mission. And God is telling every one of us today to embrace His calling and stop making excuses about why we can't do it. One other thing. Give God what you're holding on to. Give God what you're holding on to. God asked Moses earlier in chapter 4. He said, what is that in your hand? What are you holding in your hand, Moses? Of course, it was Moses' shepherd's staff. And maybe we don't understand the importance of that to Moses, this staff that he's been carrying around for years now. That's part of his work. It's one with him, you can almost say. God revealed to Moses how he's going to take that old stick of his and use it for the glory of God. But first, Moses had to let it go. He had to release it. He had to throw it down because, see, it's more than a stick in Moses' life. God turned that stick then into a snake. And Moses' faith was tested at that point a little bit because he loved that old stick, because then God said, now pick it up while it's still slithering. God didn't turn it back into a stick and then let him pick it up. He had to pick it up while it was still slithering along. We often fail to activate our mission because it means letting go of something that we're clinging on to in our lives. We're keeping something back from God. We're holding on to something too tightly. And what is it God is telling you to throw down in your life, to let go? What is keeping you from activating your mission? Moses had to throw that down, which he has been part of his life for years now. And God may be doing the same thing to you right now. Maybe it's you're holding someone very close. Maybe you're holding something very close. Or maybe you're holding some attitude too tightly in your life. And God is saying, throw it down. Let me have it. Let it go. Why? Because that item is keeping you from God's call on your life. In many ways, it's a snake in your life. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your reputation. What are you holding on tightly? What's become such a prized possession? Because if you hold on to something too tightly, no matter how good it is, it controls you instead of God controlling you. Don't you think you can trust God with whatever it is? Don't you think you can trust Him, the one that we say, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength? Don't you think you can trust Him with whatever it is? Don't you think you can trust God with your business, with your dreams, your family, this church? Sometimes, like Moses and his staff, when you throw it down and you give it over to God, He takes that, whatever it is, He takes the ego out of it, the selfishness out of it, and all that stuff that shouldn't be there at the time, and He gives it back to you, and He says, now use this to walk into your mission. But I'll give you fair warning on the other side. Because sometimes He's telling you to throw it down because He needs to take it away from you because it's not good for you. Or maybe it's just good and God has the best waiting for you. It may be just a very good thing, but God's saying, you can't receive my best until you give up that which is good. God can't give you His best. Are you ready to be the message? In particular this morning, are you ready to activate your mission? In a little while, we want you to explore the possibilities of how you can be a part of helping others in our community, because that's what it's about. We've got to get out of this mentality of being in the four walls as a church. Church is meant to be out in the community, helping others, being a part of other people's lives, being part of different organizations out there, and having the smile and the words of Jesus there. And I don't want you to skip out on this. And I know how some Christians are. They came this morning and they said, I'm not sticking around for that thing. I'm hightailing it out of here as soon as church is over. I hope you change your mind on that. I hope you change your mind. Because you know what? You might be surprised as to what God places upon your heart as you tour and look at these different opportunities. And even if one of those opportunities isn't the one, maybe God's inspired you with another thought of something else that you could do. God wants you to embrace His call. But that means it's time to stop making excuses to God. It's also time to throw down that which you're clinging on to and keeping you from God's call on your life. But also this morning, of major importance, is maybe you're clinging to your ways instead of surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. Tony, this morning, was baptized, and it was, as Pastor Mike shared with us, it was symbolizing what has already taken place in his heart and life, that he has surrendered his life to Christ. He identified that sin keeps him separated from God, and that can only be fixed by God Himself. It's a God-sized project. We can try all the good works we want in this life. We can try to do all the things and say, well, I'm a good person, God will let me in. But that's not how it works, because it doesn't fix the sin problem. the sin that separates you from God. And so God said, I'll fix it. I'll send my son and punish him on the cross for the sins of the world. And our part is to believe, to surrender, admit our sins, surrender unto God, and believe and choose to follow Jesus Christ and be the message wherever we go. And maybe you're here today and you've never made that decision in your life. Pastor Mike and I will be up here at the front to close, and either when we're singing, you can come and speak to us or speak to us afterwards. We'd love to hear from you on that. Or maybe it's like Tony, and you've been a Christian a while, but you've never been immersed, baptized. What a great thing. What a great witness it is. And maybe that's the decision you need to make, or something else that God has placed in your heart. Be open to his call in prayer. Let's go to him now in prayer, and then we'll sing together. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the story of Moses, and Lord, it just reminds us just how human he was, and Lord, how yet you took him, even in the midst of all these excuses, and used him for something great. Lord, I pray that we will take Philippians 4:13 really to heart and realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, I pray now in this time of decision-making that you will be honored and glorified in it all. That, Father, you will be lifted up and praised, and your will be accomplished. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.